It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we are still in awe of Lionel Messi and his hat-trick. Vishal, we have been trying to wrap our heads around this last week of football, which is supposed to be the international break.
I look worse than before.
Emphasis on the word break.
Less sleep than before.
But I think we ended up watching more football than we do on even the craziest weeks of the year.
Yep.
Because it was a crazy finale to the World Cup qualifying season. It's technically not over yet, a couple of playoffs still to finish. But those aside, we mostly know the World Cup field.
Yeah.
Playoffs remaining in Europe, playoffs remaining in Asia Oceania and a couple of other interregional ones. But there have been so many big stories already. Big story number one, which has been developing for quite a while. Let's talk about your team. The Netherlands will be missing from the World Cup again.
Yep.
After having enjoyed quite a golden run for the last three or four tournaments. And to bring everybody up to speed, although I'm sure everybody is probably already up to speed, we have Egypt back in the World Cup in dramatic fashion.
Dramatic fashion, yes.
After 1990. Mohamed Salah scored effectively the goal that got them through from the qualifying region in Africa. And just to put things in perspective, Mohamed Salah would not be born for another 3 years since when Egypt last were seen at a World Cup. Or as an Egyptian fan told me, that I seem to have more Egypt-related World Cup memories
than
Mohamed Salah, or she does.
Yep.
So that's how ages ago Egypt had qualified. So that's huge news. Speaking of ages ago and qualification, the United States of America will be missing for the first time since 1986. And theirs was the most incredible story.
Yep.
A CONCACAF group that barely has six teams, of which four qualify.
Yep.
And a group like that, they were able to muck it up.
Yep.
Enough that they would finish fifth. Not only that,
they lost to the bottom team.
They lost to the team that would eventually finish bottom despite that win. So that would be Trinidad and Tobago. Not only that, the two teams that have qualified ahead of them, that would be Panama, who have made it for the first time,
yep,
and Honduras, who will enter a playoff against New Zealand. They'll be playing Australia for the final spot there. Panama, such a huge event, they have declared a national holiday. After having qualified, there are some great scenes going around on Twitter, or video of Panamanian broadcasters who went nuts in the commentary box once they qualified, which is amazing. But also, cold hard facts, both Honduras and Panama had negative goal difference and yet qualify ahead of the United States because they have 1 point more. The United States, Vishal.
Yep.
3 wins out of 10 games, not good enough.
Not good enough, not close to good enough. With the squad that you have in that pool, I'm not saying that's a world-class squad, but in that pool, you're definitely second best, if not the best, behind Mexico. But with the players that you have, with the teams that you're going up against, and with the fact that you have a better structured league, you have some of your players playing outside and playing in Europe, and you have some great talent, same great infrastructure, and to play the way you guys have. And you know, the biggest problem with USA was the previous qualifier when they won, they decided to celebrate like they're
Panama 4-0.
Yep, and they almost celebrated like they won the World Cup, as in the sheer celebration, the noise that they made about this, and Bruce Arena coming out and ranting almost on the mic, challenging European teams, challenging who not, and the result is you lost to Trinidad and Tobago and you're out of the World Cup. Trust America to be really cocky about something and fall flat on their face. But my God, that was a that was an appalling performance, and I think this is the right time to do it because they need to relook at their system, they need to look at their administration, they need to look at their coaching, they need to look at what their coaching has been substandard. And I think Jurgen Klinsmann was a good coach, but even he didn't seem to deliver at this point in time. So they really need to relook at everything from scratch because they have the ingredients, they have the players, but it's about what they can do with this.
And speaking of making limited resources work, at the other end of the spectrum is a story like Iceland, who topped their group.
Yep.
And they qualified.
Yeah.
Iceland, by the way, the team that beat Netherlands.
Yes.
So we've talked about the Iceland story earlier as well, during the last Euros, and you know they've shown that this is no flash in the pan because they've done it again. They've qualified.
It's about
professionalism. And they've not scraped through. They've genuinely played as if they could win.
Yep.
And that's how it has turned out. Speaking of genuinely playing as if they could win, we finally turned our attention to the CONMEBOL or the South American qualification. And if those had dramatic narratives, wait till you get a load of what happened in CONMEBOL. No surprises for Brazil topping the group. They had a pretty impressive performance. Yep. 18 games, just one defeat. Yep. Pretty fantastic.
Yep.
They were followed by an impressive Uruguay, who 31 points.
Yep.
Finished second. But then is when things get
interesting. Then all hell breaks loose.
Because finishing number three were Argentina. We'll have a bit to talk about that in a moment. We'll come back
on
to that.
On paper, it looks good.
missing out were Chile, who lost to Brazil.
Yep.
But that loss did not knock them out.
Yep.
It's the margin of the loss that knocked them out.
Yep.
They lost, could have lost by a goal and still could have made it to the interzonal playoffs.
Yep.
Lost by 3-0. And that's what means that the South American champions of the last two times running will not be seen at the World Cup.
Shocking.
It's Colombia and Peru who are both in. Colombia directly in. Peru, of course, will be
through the playoffs.
Playing the playoffs. They'll be facing New Zealand, of course.
Yep.
Interesting thing about the Colombia-Peru game, Vishal, 2 points. We'll just quickly go through them. Number one, Peru actually scored off an indirect free kick. That was made an indirect free kick by the Colombian goalkeeper because they took it direct and Ospina decided to save it. He could let it go and obviously it would have not counted.
Yep.
But he touched it.
Yep.
So it became indirect. I mean, talk about schoolboy errors and fine margins. Quickly also your take on rumors that, you know, eventually once it was 1-1, both teams more or less played out a draw of convenience.
It was that, right? So at around 85th minute, all the players realized that the other games have ended the way it should and both the teams are going through. So both the teams just wanted to ensure that they're going through. Colombia anyway were going to go through and Peru would have gone through the playoffs. So they just practically decided, okay, let's just play out the draw. For those who are saying that this is match fixing, no, this is not match fixing. They did not pre-decide the result of the game. They just decided to play out the rest of the game because knowing that the results are in favor of them, they just played safe. Both the teams did not want to try to be ambitious and lose what they already had. It's just logic, actually. And yeah, the rule is that you know, the players on the field are not supposed to know what's happening in other games, but who's going to stop them right now? From the fans to the coaches to everybody has got access to technology now, and nothing can stop this. It's just logically common sense. Yeah,
I mean, that's how Man City knew in 2012.
Ferguson was quickly taking everybody back into the tunnel at the Stadium of Light, saying it's done, it's over, let's hide.
Alright, from that segue, Vishal, back to speaking of defying logic.
Yep.
Argentina 3, Ecuador 1.
Messi 3.
Ecuador 1. Vishal, huge result.
Yep.
But let's put the result in context in terms of just what an outstanding achievement that is. A lot of people have been criticizing a lot of euphoria over the result, saying that look, Messi scored a hat-trick, got Argentina through to the World Cup, but it's not a big deal, it was against Ecuador. But let's put some things in context for our listeners. Number one, Argentina were on the brink of elimination, they might not even have made the playoffs.
Yep.
So there would have been no Messi or Argentina in the World Cup. the game was being played in Quito in Ecuador, almost 3,000 meters above sea level, where some of the so-called critics of Messi would have probably been out of breath just typing their criticism. That's how thin the air is. And a place where Brazil had just played 3 days back. And what did Neymar say again, Richard?
Inhuman conditions.
But then again, we know that Messi is not human. And he put in a superhuman performance.
Yep.
Despite all the odds. I mean, how many odds can you stack up against one man? All the expectations in weight. Weight of expectations of the entire world and the country. The huge amount of criticism.
Yep.
The position in the group, other results had to go their way.
Yep.
They did not have their destiny in their own hands. Tough conditions to play for any footballer at that kind of altitude. And finally, Argentina decided to add one extra layer of difficulty by letting a goal in after 40 seconds.
They literally had one job, you know. Like, just support this man.
Despite all of that, of course, Messi struck back almost immediately.
Yep.
The first goal, I mean, incredible pace.
Yep.
Running down the middle, and a fantastic through ball down to Di Maria on the left. And like we were discussing earlier, Vishal, he was really just using Di Maria as a post to ricochet the ball back onto his path. He really wasn't looking at Di Maria to provide an assist. This should just be a Messi's assist to Messi via Di Maria. So Di Maria passed it on to Messi, scored the goal. But really, the pick of the goal was the one that came after that, the second goal. Describe that for our listeners.
Because one, to put in context, the heat of the moment is one all. The second goal would put you in the lead, and it is a massive moment. And obviously Messi did do his part of running past it and beating the defenders in spite of multiple attempts to stop him and even bring him down. And then the angle that he chose is the one which left him with one choice, which was the top left corner, which is the near post of the goalkeeper, and which is the easiest for the goalkeeper to save. That means you have very little margin for error. You have one spot and one spot only. And Messi picked it like a boss. He picked that spot and he marked it and he said, "All right, this is where I'm putting it." And he put it with the right power, precision, and yeah, that's Messi for you.
And of course, he did cap it all off with a sensational third strike as well. So this could be the moment that galvanizes the Argentinian team. I mean, surely it has to, because no other stat stands out about the state of this Argentinian team as the fact that aside of an own goal, it's only Lionel Messi who has scored any goal Argentina has in the last
11
almost
months.
A year.
Exactly like you said, it's taken 11 months and Messi is the only one who scored for that team. And normally it's a situation where other teams and other players are not good enough, but what is Argentina's excuse? I never understand, because they have world class players on that team at all times. As in, if Dybala is coming off the bench.
They could put a Dybala on the bench and be absolutely
chill. Yeah, and you have Di Maria, you have Higuain, you have Gago, who sadly hurt his ankle, his knee, but there are such tremendous players out there. I do not know what the excuse is for not performing. I get that they are stars in their own right and they want to be superstars, you need to understand that it is difficult being a star in a team that has Messi in it. So sometimes your job is to support the great man, or support Lionel Messi so the team becomes bigger. So on paper, they should come together. This is the moment that they needed, the big win that they needed. And
the scare that they needed
probably
be shaken back into their senses.
Going into the World Cup, they will still be one of the favourites. There is no chance that they will not be a favourite for the World Cup. But we never know with Argentina. We never know what they bring to the table. And we'll have to just wait and watch. But this might be the rallying cry that they need.
Right. And we'll see how they do in Russia on that front. And finally, Vishal, will kind of complete this whirlwind tour of this finale of the World Cup qualifiers back in Europe.
Yep.
Talking about a few other teams that kind of missed out. Scotland, who evidently have a genetic issue.
And this, my friend, is our weekly nonsense.
So Gordon Strachan going ahead and saying, they're genetically...
They're just not genetically good enough to be at the World Cup. They're
which,
not big enough.
Which used to be a very Indian excuse for a long time in the football arena.
Yeah.
But seems like Scotland has appropriated that one. But, you know, Scotland wasn't really the big story.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest story was the fact that Wales missed out.
That's a massive blow.
Losing to the Republic of Ireland.
Yep. I genuinely think the World Cup this time in Russia is a poorer place without Wales and Gareth Bale in it, because simply because at the Euros we saw what a good team they are. They play the right way, they play in the right spirit, they play to win, and they're just a joy to watch. And this is something that is a massive blow, and this is something that I think Wales actually lost out because Gareth Bale cannot manage to keep himself fit. He really needs to look at his regime and what he needs to stay fit, because him being there would have made a lot of difference, because they had all the possession, they had all the chances, but they did not
have the... Yes, they started the stronger team. The game was in Cardiff.
Yep.
The atmosphere was
absolutely
charged.
Yep.
They really had no excuses not to finish this up.
This was one of those generations which really should have made it to the World Cup. And while all of them are still younger players and will have another chance in the next 4 years, but you do not know if Gareth Bale is going to be the same player, or Joe Ledley or Aaron Ramsey will be the same players that they are currently. So they might have lost out on a massive, massive opportunity for Wales, because this is not a big country like the rest of them who are consistently producing talent. So this is a huge blow. They should have been at the World Cup. It is sad that they are not at the World Cup, but hey, you've got to move on.
And speaking of, it is sad that they are at the World Cup, we end our tour of the British Isles.
Yeah.
With England.
Oh wow.
Who, as somebody said, are going to the World Cup with Harry Kane and a bunch of other players.
So I have sleeping problems, but I watch England and it fixes it right away for me, because they play the most uninspiring football that I have seen in a long time. Now, since Gareth Southgate has taken over, I do not see an identity to the team. I do not see what they are trying to do. I do not see any shape, form or any tactic that's coming out. I don't know if they're trying to be a defensively strong team and then trying to win, but you need to understand that while in the current group, you might have just conceded two goals, which is a misrepresentation of how good that defense is, because they're not really that good. Individually, they're decent players.
Because they really weren't in the strongest groups.
Nope.
I mean, England got really lucky in terms of the qualifying campaign.
Yeah, and that does reflect that they did get lucky, because they have been less than inspiring. They have been substandard. They've been scraping through against teams like San Marino. Not San Marino, just teams like Latvia, teams like... So it is just not working out for them, and they really need to relook at it, because they have the players, they have the ingredients, but if the coaching is not good, if the management is not good, we know how the players anyway turn up at World Cup, so we'll have to wait and watch.
So we'll see that, and we'll keep an eye out for all of that, because this is one of those rare episodes where we delve into international football at this length, even when there is no international competition on. Again, come December, we will probably revisit all of that once all the teams are finalized and the World Cup draw is made, because we know. And do not underestimate that episode, because we did a similar episode in 2014, or rather 2013 December, before the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah.
And Soccer Sense did predict the group of death.
Yes.
Nonetheless, that's about it for this epic roundup of World Cup qualifiers, which had enough drama to keep us off of them for a few more months. But we return to the usual grind in our next episode.
Yes.
In the meantime, this is Tariq signing off from Soccer Sense.
See you guys. Pray for the Dutch somewhere.